last night was a hellhole of a basketball game. Cavaliers lost. They got boat raced from basically beginning to end. At one point, they had more turnovers than they had hit field goals. And so I kind of want to ask everybody, is last night just a bad night, or is there a problem with your Cleveland Cavaliers? Do you believe that there's a problem with the Cleveland Cavaliers? I happen to think that last night was a bad night. We can ask Danny Cunningham a little bit more in depth at 8:40. But, and I want to ask you guys, I do think that this might be a good thing for Cavs fans. I don't think you're comfortable being the favorite. I don't think you're comfortable being the team that's in the driver's seat. I think that
the
most
fans or the team
fans. I'm not sure. The team, they're a young plucky group. They need a couple of setbacks here and there because they lead. You know, as Kevin Stefanski will tell us, they lead the way for comebacks. 34-6
paved the way for comebacks.
There you go. 34-6. It's still a hell of a record. My chant is you don't have to fix 34-6. But is there any sort of a real problem with this team? Because I still think for fans, fans love being underdogs. Fans love it, especially in the Midwest. They love to rise up, to beat an opponent that is favored over them. Part of what makes the Cavaliers championship so satisfying isn't the 51 years, isn't that it's their favorite team is the Cavaliers. A big reason why it's so satisfying is that you beat a team that was heavily favored. A 72-win basketball team, a team that was seen as a juggernaut. And so when you go out there and you get your ass handed to you, and that's what you did, I don't think there were some things last night that might be a bit concerning, but I don't think that there's anything where we need to lose our minds over. You lost the game, it's a bad game. Do you believe that it was a rough night at the office, or do you believe that there was anything that you need to take?
I mean, it was definitely a rough night at the office.
Just a rough night at the office.
Yeah,
sorry.
I think even Atkinson admitted after the game that, yes, longer teams are going to give us trouble, but that doesn't mean that they shouldn't even accept the bid to the playoffs. Like, yeah, it's going to be tougher in the playoffs. It's going to be tougher for everybody. Cavs are not a cupcake matchup for anybody either. So all these teams are obviously deficient in some areas. Mm. You know, I said earlier in the year that the Boston Celtics have, to me, the most perfect roster that you could have in today's newfangled apron cap situation, the CBA. Like, they're the most perfect team you could build, and they've been 7-7 in their last 14 games. So all these teams have issues. There's no runaway champ this year. And I think every list will have the Cavs, Thunder, and Celtics in some order as the teams. And that's, you know, you want to talk about disrespect. Is that disrespectful to the Mavericks, who aren't even being mentioned? Is it disrespectful to the Knicks that have used all those assets to go completely remake their team? Like, there's still a lot of basketball to be played. And who's even going to be healthy come playoff time? Like, that's probably
sure.
going to be more important than
I'm
anything.
I'm not sure. I mean, if you're still the healthy team, but it did bother me that you played so lousy when they did have no Chet Holmgren again. He was out with the hip injury. And now you have Isaiah Hartenstein with a calf injury. That bothered me. It bothered me that you didn't throw the ball to the block. It bothered me that you tried to go inside. That bothered me.
Well, it's weird, especially considering how you did punish them in a big way in that first game in Cleveland. Now, obviously, Oklahoma City made adjustments, but it was such a weird game because they didn't have either of their big men. So that's why I thought this was going to be a romp, that Evan Mobley was just going to dominate, that Jared Allen was going to dominate. But what did they do? They turned up the pressure on the perimeter to a 10 out of 10. And you saw how many possessions last night just got stifled before you even had a chance to get started.
Did they think it was going to be a romp? And is this why they came out so flat?
I honestly do wonder. And I know that's crazy considering it's a road game. George Niang told us how important that game was yesterday. Kenny Atkinson basically said they built it up as like a playoff. That's not going to exactly be music to anyone's ears. But it's weird when you're going up against a team that didn't have, what was the tallest player in the starting lineup yesterday for Oklahoma City? 6'9", Jalen Williams. I mean, that was a game I expected us to pound them on the inside, and they just didn't do it.
Well, you know, you're getting a lot of, and they played Indiana. Indiana's a respectable basketball team. You're playing a lot of teams that playoff games. Playoff atmosphere. Like, are you trying to do a little bit too much there? Are you trying to force it a little bit?
And it was national
television. I got to ask
questions
because it was just such a bad game.
You got the real inside the NBA halftime show and postgame show. You didn't get the backups, which is what I think we had last time we got the game flexed. And you're going to see a lot more Cavs on national television, so you're going to have a lot more of these opportunities to soak it all in, because this was, you could tell Oklahoma City, they were desperate. They didn't like losing. They didn't like the fact that their 15-game losing streak, a winning streak was snapped. you know, on the road, and they look like a team that wanted that game way more than you did.
Oh, without a doubt, without a doubt. Last night it was interesting to me that it was ironic to me that George Yang's on with us in the morning, talks about how composed Kenny is. Kenny has Atkinson has a T in the first half for cussing at refs,
mm-hmm.
so he was losing his mind. And they said in the broadcast, you know, how he's trying to get his team riled up. They're up against the ropes, and I'm going, man, I just had a feeling throughout, like, this is just not their night. I didn't want to – you tend to have to take this back when you say these things during games, but I'm going
– You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Something's off. They're missing these shots. Clanging. We're trying to get bunnies going. Even the bunnies aren't going for us here. And again, the turnovers, just the ball handling that was just not there. The passing that was terrible. It just seemed to be, boy, you woke up on the wrong side of the bed. I go, did you stay in the bad hotel? Did you stay in the haunted hotel? What the hell happened here?
I would add, if you're asking about problems, like, I know who Donovan Mitchell is. I know how good he is. And I know how in the postseason he has the ability to take his game to a level that you know, maybe – I don't know if there's nine other guys, you know, in the NBA that can take it to the level that he can. With that said, this January has absolutely been a disaster for him. And I have to look to go back and see, maybe since his rookie year. This January, I know it's been six games and three of them have been on national television. This has got to be one of the worst months of his career. He's averaging...
Donovan.
Okay. He's averaging 17 a game, 38% from the field, and 34% from three. He hasn't really been spreading the ball around. He's just not been good. He hasn't really gotten to the free throw line all that much.
Why do you think this is?
I don't know. There hasn't really been the burst around the rim. The finishing hasn't been there. And that's something that, you know, he was able to on one leg last year in a playoff game score 50 and show you the complete breadth of amazing game that he has where he can do it inside out. And he has not really demonstrated that. I wonder if he's dealing with an injury or something. It's weird to see Donovan Mitchell play like this for an extended period of time.
What night did he have off last week? Which night was it? Was it the first Pacers game or which one was it?
No, he played in both Pacers games.
Which one was it that he had
Toronto?
The scheduled night off? Yeah, because it was right after the game against Oklahoma City. He had the scheduled night off. Thank you. Is he nursing something that we don't know about?
I don't know, because minutes-wise, this is... right up there with the lowest minutes in his career. He's at 31 minutes. Yeah, this the absolute lowest of his career. So they're trying not to burn him out, because last year you can make the argument towards the end of the year he was burned
then
out.
Then is there a case to be made that they're trying not to burn him out and he's playing the lowest minutes of his career and he's not necessarily used to that? He played played all the minutes in Utah. He played all the minutes here in Cleveland his first couple of years here. Is there an adjustment that needs to be made? Not like with his game, but just like the timing of everything.
Look, I think he was willing to sacrifice, I think, short-term stats, making an MVP run, because normally the best player on a team with this record would be at the top of the MVP list, and he's really not even top five, I don't think. So he's been willing to sacrifice all of that because they know come playoff time, they're going to need Evan Mobley, they're going to need Darius Garland to take their game to another level. Donovan has established that he can take his game to another level. Those guys have not in the postseason. Darius has been dreadful. Evan came alive at the end of the Boston series, but you know, has looked kind of meek in the postseason. He got roughed around, pushed around in that Orlando series. So I've been all for that, but I wonder, it's Donovan with this role, this has been so drastically different from anything he's really had his entire career that I think it is something to keep your eye on.
216-474-0092. Is last night just a bad night, or are there actually problems with the Cleveland Cavaliers? Isaac and Shaker Heights, you're first up on the Fan.
Thank you. Good morning to you guys. Hey, it was both. It was a bad night, and there is problems with the Cavaliers. There's problems because, if you notice, Oklahoma City picked them up full court, and they blitzed the ball handlers. And whoever had the ball, Darius
or Donovan. They did that last week as well, didn't they?
Yeah, Pacers did that.
Yeah, they blitzed them. And they blitzed them, and when they blitzed them, you got guys in there, especially this lineup I'm about to give you. I've been watching this lineup for the last 3 or 4 weeks. Lineup of Mitchell, Niang, Mobley, LeVert, and Strus. That lineup is detrimental to the Cavaliers. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they can't play. I'm just saying they can't play well together. And that's part of Mitchell's problem. This part of Mitchell's problem is he's the primary ball handler in that lineup. Nobody else can actually bring the ball up or do anything with the ball. He needs to play with Strus, and he needs to play with Ty Jerome. He needs to play with Ty Jerome in that lineup. That lineup needs scratching. Just watch it the next time. The next time you see those five in, watch the score. Watch and see what they do, and watch the lead either dissipate.
You're not the first person to say that. I don't disagree with you. You're not the first person to say that to me, Isaac.
Yeah.
I don't disagree.
I hate to say it. I mean, I know you share a name, but Okoro has been absolutely dreadful since he has come back from his, I think it was like a shoulder injury. He has been dreadful. Remember, he was shooting like 50% from three-point land, and that has plummeted. He can't be counted on right now. Max Strus is feast or famine shooting. We know that. Yesterday, they abused him. They were looking for him on screens, and Max fights hard. He fights his ass off, but against the premier players, like Shai Gilgeous, every single time he had sights, it was a bucket every single time.
Coming up at 8:40, Danny Cunningham will join us on the show. 216-474-0092. I'm finding it hard to just take the safety off and fire away a team at sixth game of the NBA season. There are things to pay attention to. You mentioned the Pacers. I mentioned Oklahoma City last week. The length that Oklahoma City has, there's things to pay attention to. Is it a bad night, or are there things that you are now concerned about with the Cleveland Cavaliers? I'm not too terribly concerned. Maybe you can sway me.